We Will Not Be Tamed, a Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation podcast that encourages all Texans to get involved in conserving the wild things and wild places of our state.
I'm Lydia Saldana with Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation, and we're sitting out on the caboose at Spoke Hollow Ranch. We're here for a socially distanced weekend with the co-chairs of several of the Stewards of the Wild chapters across the state. I have Bowie Holland with Fort Worth, who is a former co-chair and is also a board fellow, and I'm going to ask you about that a little bit later. We've got Frankie Cimino, who's the co-chair with Austin, and then also Cole Harrison from Midland. So thanks for taking the time out of this hot and sweaty day when you could be in the river. We'll be there soon, but let's take a moment to chat a little bit. Bowie, I'm going to start with you with just kind of remind our audience just the backstory of how Stewards came to be.
Well, I think it kind of self-initiated. Josh and Mac, I believe, approached the foundation with an idea for a YP organization to better support the foundation and engage that next generation. And it was a big success there starting in Dallas. And then I think Fort Worth was one of the first round of expansion past Dallas with Taylor Lacey and Thomas Duggins.
Because it's hard to get Dallas and Fort Worth to do anything together, right?
We cooperate every now and then.
If I can say that. So.
Absolutely. And I got Phil and Josh were the co-chairs there, were a big help to Fort Worth getting off the ground. With Taylor Lacey and Thomas Duggins. And then I was one of the second round of co-chairs there. And it's just grown and grown. I think every year they look at potential markets, and a little bit of a step back this year with COVID, but last year was a record year for membership, and it's been really, really fun to watch it grow over these past almost 7 years.
Frankie, what brought you through the door?
One of my high school friends' boyfriends at the time, now they're married, was on the advisory council, and he approached me and said, "Hey, Frankie, there's a young professionals group that I'm in that really is interested in conserving the Texas places and wildlife, and I think that's totally up your alley." And I was like, "I don't know if I really have time for that." And he was like, "Oh, you don't have to be committed at all, just like become a member, and we do happy hours every once in a while."
And now you're coaching.
And now I'm very involved.
How did that happen?
Yeah.
How did these things happen?
I don't know. But they, the people on the Austin Advisory Council are some of my best friends now. And it's just so wonderful to have a group in Austin that we align our beliefs so similarly. And it's really special.
So, Cole, tell me about the Midland experience. I know Midland is one of the newer, relatively newer chapter. Tell us about how that came to be and how you got involved.
It is. So I moved from Houston. I grew up in a small town called West Columbia on the coast. So I was used to hunting and fishing and just roaming around outdoors. And so anyway, after college, lived in Houston. And then my wife and I took a job in Midland. So I moved out there. And then I saw an ad, I believe on Facebook, for Stewards of the Wild. And so Midland is a very service-oriented community. And a very tight-knit community. I think the average age is 32 or 33. So there's a lot of young people there in different organizations. And so Marty and oil and gas organizations. And so the environment is another big issue for me, conservation. And so I just went to one of the meetings. I've been in for 3 years now. And then here I am, blessed to be serving as chair.
I remember when we first started talking about the Midland organization, they had an event. And Matt was on the call and said, "There were 300 people there." Were you at that first meeting?
I wasn't. So okay. I came in after that. I came in a year after.
A lot of excitement, needless to say.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Why do you think there was so much excitement?
Well, I think just being so far away from everybody else. I
mean, you know,
Dallas, Fort Worth, really
not
anything.
Not as many distractions.
Yeah,
right?
Everything's at least 5 hours away, so including family. So your friends out there, really, you really bond with them over things like that. And so... And a lot of the guys out in West Texas and gals are they're into hunting or fly fishing. So I think it's just a really natural fit. And you have the mountains nearby, or at least relatively nearby compared to everywhere else. And so really it gives you access so you can hang around like-minded people to go enjoy those things.
Now, did you grow up on a ranch, hunting and fishing and all that?
I personally didn't. My grandparents had a small ranch in West Columbia. So I spent a little bit of time, like I said, running around and throwing trot lines and all that, but really just developed my love from being outside and everything. And when you're in Houston, once we lived in Houston, started working, we were in the Heights, which is a very modern part of Houston. And so to get anywhere was like an hour and a half at least to get to some kind of environment to see trees and that. So it's been nice to be at Midland where you can just drive 20 minutes outside of town and then do whatever you want, go hiking or whatever.
So we've been doing these weekends at least, what, 3 years, 4 years, where we get together once a year?
I think four years. I think this is the fourth one.
And then you've been, like I said, from the beginning, you've kind of been there from the beginning. What's your observation of how the stewards have kind of evolved and grown over the years?
Sure. I think they've really hit their stride. It's been a little bit of a process to work with getting all the advisory councils dialed in and really finding the right people. But I think the stewards has almost developed into a brand. When you had the awareness on the social media and the events, I think there were 70 events last year. I mean, that's a lot for a YP organization. So it's been really fun to go from explaining what stewards is to having people unsolicited approach me and ask about stewards. So there's definitely that brand awareness throughout the state.
Like, so what does that brand mean to you? I'm going to think about that because I'm going to ask you guys too. What does that brand mean to you, Billy?
Ultimately, I think it's an engagement. It's engaging the next generation. Fundamentally, you have people coming. I think really the thing that attracts most people is a conservation mindset. On top of that, all sorts of interests across the board, fly fishing, hiking, hunting, just the love of the outdoors. So you have people from all walks of life, every stripe, but all seem to have an interest in engaging on conservation issues, learning more about what the department and the foundation does. And we as a YP organization, you know, deliver that message and that information.
So I'll pose the same question to you too. Frankie, what does the brand mean to you?
I think it means raising the next generation of Texas conservationists and being able to explain, like what Bowie said, what the foundation is, and just being able to take a step back from our corporate jobs and being able to, whether it's go to a happy hour and have Carter Smith from the department come and talk about what they're doing for the wild places, or whether it's taking a camping trip to Big Bend over the weekend and meeting other people from across the state that you wouldn't normally be able to go and hang out with. I think that that's really awesome.
Okay. How about for you, Paul?
And I'd agree with Frankie. I think that raising the next generation of conservationists is one of the big issues, because my wife and I just had a daughter 5 months ago.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And so thinking, you know, 30 years down the line, 40 years down the line, as the population of Texas continues to grow, what will be available for her to explore? So with the foundation acquiring Powderhorn and places like that, preserving the land is a big issue for me, as well as the wildlife, so that when she is that age, she can also sit out here beneath the trees and enjoy the sounds of the river and the birds and everything else.
Awesome. So we've been talking about the next generation of conservation leaders, and another piece of the stewards is the board fellowship program. And Bowie, I know you just rolled off. You were one of the original ones, weren't you?
I think a second class, yes.
So first of all, just tell us, what is a board fellowship? What did you do and what did you learn?
So the board fellows, I think they're staggered 2-year terms. And the main focus is to attend the board meetings of the foundation's board. That brings a whole new level of perspective of the foundation and how it operates, how it conducts its business, what they see as issues and priorities. And Matt gives us some things to work on every now and then and be somewhat of a sounding board. Generally, it's going to be co-chairs and people who've been doing this a little while. But a good way to bounce ideas he's thinking about off of us. But it's been just an eye-opening process, and it's been really interesting to see how much the board cares about the stewards program and how important and how it's growing in importance. You know, they care just as much about the next generation too.
So several, I mean, we just recorded another podcast and the subject of West Texas trip came up. So you've been on one of these West Texas trips.
Yes.
Do you want to describe, and had you been out to West Texas before?
I had never been before.
Okay, so describe that, kind of what that experience was like the first time being out there, because it is, it's breathtaking.
It's magical. It's so beautiful. Growing up in Central Texas in the Hill Country, I'd gone hiking in Enchanted Rock and that those types of areas, but just driving out Thursday after work into the middle of nowhere, and when we got there it was really dark, we were staying at the Sproul Ranch out in Fort Davis, and waking up and walking out into the back patio where there's just these beautiful Fort Davis mountains, it was breathtaking. And there were other people on the trip that had been to West Texas multiple times, so it was interesting to have their opinions on where you need to go eat, what the best hiking trails are. And it was really cool because I had never really interacted with any other Stewards chapters, and people from Houston were there. There was someone from the Midland chapter, and then there was a ton of Austin members as well. And just being able to spend time together, like a substantial amount of time, not just a couple of hours at an event, but just Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, just all together. That's what made me want to join the advisory board also, was so that I could help plan events like this for our members as well.
We just hooked you and reeled you in, right?
Yes, yeah. But it's beautiful out. I want to go back so bad, but
it'll happen soon enough.
Soon enough.
So I'm just curious, what experience or knowledge did you have, Cole, of Texas Parks and Wildlife before your involvement with the Stewards?
Well, so growing up down there on the coast, there are some state parks that we used to go to. Lake Texana was a big one. We'd always go there every summer. But really, I mean, and Brazos Bend is another big one. But other than those two, I didn't really get out to go to those parks much because we had access to the woods at my grandparents' house and everything. And then fishing the bays, Christmas Bay and Matagorda Bay. But other than that, we didn't really visit. And then I married my wife. I was never a big hiker, and then she liked hiking. I was more of either shooter.
So now
you
like hiking.
Yeah, exactly. Either shooter or catch it. Anyway, so she taught me how to actually walk and enjoy the sights around you. So that's, once we started dating in college, that's when we started going to more state parks and things to hike and enjoy nature itself.
Were you aware of the breadth of the department? Like, you know, the fish hatcheries and the wildlife management areas and all the game wardens. Were you aware of that before?
Not other than the game wardens, which I've had a few meetings with.
Do tell.
Yeah. Well, and see, being here this weekend really shows behind the scenes exactly how much everybody at the foundation, how much work they're doing to help preserve Texas. So it's been really interesting to see just the breadth and everything, that all the work that goes into it. Even a weekend like this where everybody comes in from different parts of the state to input what they think would help out with.
And so, Bowie, you've had an interesting experience with going to the foundation board members. Did you attend any commission meetings? Did you do any of those?
I've listened to those. Okay. I was actually involved with one of the recent measures on alligator gar.
Oh, okay.
And collecting signatures and that sort of thing.
Oh, awesome.
For that. And then I have a little bit of a personal connection growing up to the department. My brothers and I, a young lady who was going to school at the time, she was helping take care of us as a babysitter, basically, and she graduated and went off to the Game Warden Academy.
Oh.
And my brothers and I saw her come back with her green truck and pulling a boat and a gun, and we thought she was the coolest lady we'd ever seen.
Who is that?
Her name was Michelle, and she was a Game Warden down, I think, on Lake Whitney down in Waco.
Yeah.
I believe she's retired since then.
That's awesome.
But yeah.
So that had an impression on you.
That and the alligator gar, speaking with some of the biologists and that sort of thing, and just really interfacing with game wardens in the field out there on hunting and fishing, and seeing the passion they have for conservation as well.
And kind of figuring out the backstory, because I know I was with the department for a long time, and you know, I didn't know anything about hunting and fishing regulations when I started. I wasn't a hunter or didn't fish. This is a long time ago, but one of the things that opened my eyes is just to what goes into making those hunting and fishing regulations.
Absolutely.
It's not just somebody sitting up in Austin, oh, let's do this. I mean, it's a very involved yes. process.
Lots of input.
Lots of input. It's guided by science.
Yes.
All of that. And I bet you've had some insight into that. Well, now, if you're doing petitions for alligator gar, you certainly understand.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So how about you, Frankie? What knowledge did you have of the department and Parks and Wildlife beforehand? And has there been anything eye-opening that's resulted since you've been part of the stewards?
I think to echo what Uwe and Cole have said, that I knew the department existed, but I didn't know how much time and effort it took and what their breadth of influence they had over the state of Texas and how everything that we appreciate about nature, the department is doing something to help preserve that for us. And I think that because of stewards, I have more of an appreciation that it's not just an overseeing body that's making rules just because. They're making rules because they want what we all get to experience to be here 100 years from now and make it even better. Like, have more Guadalupe bass in the rivers and make sure that the whitetail populations continue to grow and people aren't taking advantage of hunting and fishing. And I think that a lot of people that don't know about the outdoorsmanship kind of don't appreciate everything that game wardens do for us. So being able to be in stewards and participating in Gear Up for Game Wardens and then being in the field on our deer lease and talking to those game wardens and how they know who Stewards of the Wild is and saying, oh yeah, y'all helped buy these last year our big charity event, we raised money to buy some gear for the game wardens
gear
and they were like
wardens, yeah.
They were so grateful and they knew exactly who Stewards was, and I just didn't think that it was that interchangeable, so it was cool to experience that.
That's really cool. Yeah. Well, I had been wanting to come to this meeting for the last couple of years, and for whatever reason, my husband and I travel a lot, but not this year. We're not traveling this year, so I actually had we had time to come out. And you know, I've been in this space for 30 years now in conservation and you know, kind of watching and experiencing. And I just have to tell you how inspiring it is to be in the room with y'all today, and just to seeing y'all so engaged and so involved. So I just want to say thank you for being involved. I really appreciate that. Let's wrap this up. Just, you know, we're what, 7 years into stewards?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this whole COVID thing, we're all kind of pausing and reflecting, right? It's a chance for everybody to just to kind of slow down and think about it. So as you think kind of going forward, just kind of a closing thought on where you hope stewards will go from here. And Cole, I'll start with you.
Well, so this has been a tough year. In Midland, we have two events where we fundraise, and that money goes to scholarships, which right now we're sponsoring two kids at Texas A&M. Whoop. And so they have to have a degree in biology, wildlife management, whatever that might be. So hopefully in 2021, we can continue to raise money so we can give back to the Midland community in that way. And just through sponsorships like that, through the scholarships, or even we do small events such as volunteering at the I-20 Wildlife Preserve, which is one of the few places with water and trees in Midland. So hopefully we can all get back together and not just do outdoor things, but we also have some big plans such as free hunters education classes for folks that don't have that yet. So we're really hoping for a strong 2021.
Awesome. Bowie?
Pause and reflect. I think that's exactly what we've been doing. It's nice to look back and admire how far we've come. It's really picked up here in the last couple of years. I would just hope that we continue to build the brand, continue to be good value prospect for the foundation, but also for that next generation of conservationists. Start identifying the next generation of leaders, and continue to engage. I think we're going to do that. In some ways, there's some silver linings there. I don't think people have ever quite appreciated their outdoor spaces as much as they have in these last couple months, getting outside. And it's really allowed us to have the time to embrace some new technology, which I think is going to help with storytelling and telling some stories to people we might not have reached prior to this.
Okay. Frankie, wrap it all up for us.
In Austin, we've been reflecting on what we can do better in 2021, but I appreciate what Matt and Josh with Spoke Hollow Outfitters have done on the statewide level with engaging all of our stewards chapters on their Steward Live Instagram show. That has been a bright light for our chapter to turn to every week to see that there is some engagement going on. And I think that in 2021, our chapter is going to try to re-engage the rest of our members through the events that we weren't able to have this spring. Like we have a really big crawfish boil at the Warren Wildlife Gallery. That's always a big draw. And we usually do a summer camping trip that I hope we'll be able to do at some point next year. And just remember that there is an end to COVID and that we will all be able to enjoy our outdoor spaces together soon.
Well, again, thank you all for your service. We appreciate it. Thanks.
Brought to you by Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation, We Will Not Be Tamed calls us all to appreciate the wildness of Texas, the vastness of our Texas spirit, and why we should be inspired to conserve it. Find out more at wewillnotbetamed.org.